I'm Nicola.
And I'm Jay Percy.
And welcome to the Afro-Animist podcast. We are two Abir women and animist conjurers exploring witchcraft, healing and psychedelics.
The Afro-Animist podcast explores the secular through the spiritual, discussing life experiences through a sacred lens.
Here you'll get to hear talk about philosophy, metaphysics, occultism, shamanism, culture, healing, nature, animism,
the arts, conspiracies, psychedelics, and witchcraft. Nothing is off the table in these discussions, which aim to get to the heart of what it means to be spiritual and Afro-diasporic in an increasingly sterile, authoritarian, and Eurocentric world.
As Afro-Caribbean millennial Londoners, we keep it real whilst exploring the biggest mysteries of our multiverse. Join us in holding this space to cry, laugh, debate, build community and tear down oppressive structures.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, you're just doing your vocal warm-ups there.
Red lion, yellow lion.
Okay, we need to turn off and we need to get you practicing those things.
Red lion, yellow lion, red lion, yellow lion.
It isn't lion, it's lorry.
Hello.
Lauren. Now try and say that.
Try lion. Try lion.
Red lion, yellow lion. Red, yellow. Okay. I need, okay.
Yeah.
And rewind.
Welcome. Beautiful, beautiful being of the multiverse to this week's episode of the Afro-Animist podcast. You are here today with me, Jay Percy, the artist.
And me, Nicola. And we are going to be talking about working with the shadow today, which I'm not emotionally prepared for. I'm just going to be honest, but I feel like that's the deal with shadow work.
Oh, you haven't done the shadow work.
No. This is going to make me angry. I've done the shadow work, but there's still a shadow there.
You're always gonna have your shadow. Wherever you cast light, there's going to be a shadow. What even is, I mean, we hear this term a lot in the spiritual witchy community. What is the shadow?
Okay, well, I've got a quote here that will sum that up brilliantly from one of my teachers. The shadow describes the part of the self that an individual would rather not acknowledge. So it's basically the hard parts of your personality, the hard things that you've gone through, that we try to ignore and then just go on our merry way being light workers while actually shooting lasers at people because we haven't done the shadow work.
That's such a nice way of putting it. You're not shooting light, you're shooting lasers. It's a form of light, but it's a lot more destructive.
Exactly.
Gates the realm of toxic positivity, which we'll probably cover off in another episode because that is a whole topic in itself. Oh, we keep promising the toxic positivity episode. We promise it's coming.
It's coming.
I guess my background in like psychotherapy, the shadow as a Jungian concept, so psychologist Carl Jung, who, even though he was like a psychoanalyst, he sort of skates on the airy fairy spiritual world of psychotherapy, which I absolutely love. Yes. It's this concept within Jungian theory, like Nicola just said, these parts of yourself that you like hide, and you wonder, you'll probably wonder like, oh, what do I hide about myself? I think what we mean here is these parts of ourselves that we suppress. So for me, I can go directly into an example. When I find it difficult to communicate, I can tend to get angry. Or when my boundaries have been crossed and I can't communicate that, I tend to get angry. But the anger specifically becomes... So let's take me as an example. Mm-hmm. When I find it difficult to communicate my boundaries, I can feel really angry. But that anger can start to feel like and turn into spite. And I will say this quite readily because this is something that it's not something I just experienced in my adult life. This is something that I can go back to as early as 3 or 4 years old. If someone wasn't listening to me or, you know, not paying me the type of attention that I needed, I become really spiteful. One of my mum's earliest examples is I perhaps was trying to get her attention. She wasn't getting back to me. I was about 2 years old. I bit her on the ankle.
So, little rabid child.
Yeah. So starting at a very, very young age, if I do not get my way out of communication, I will find a way to attack. And it's important that I say this, and it's important that I don't shy away from this fact, because for a very large part in my life, I did shy away from it. And the reason we shy away from these things is because we're socialized very young to be told that this is not how a person acts in society. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. It's really, really bad for the collective, for the group. So you start to turn off these parts of yourself. And when you turn them off, they don't just disappear. They turn into like weird little traits or ways to communicate with people. And someone may think, oh, so-and-so's a bit off. They may not be able to put their friggin' finger on it, but they know there's something bubbling beneath the surface that you're not addressing. And that will just come out in communication.
Yeah. 100%. I think that's a really, oh, it's such a good point you're making, actually, to think of it. I think of it like that, because we hear, you know, shadow work is one of those, it's another very popular term that is like bandied about a lot. And, it, you know, it should be popular because it is, you know, in my opinion, one of the most important things to do.
1, 2, 3. Important.
Important. I didn't realize. I was like, important. It could be 100%. It could be, I think that's really great. I don't know.
I just feel like we say the words "it's so important" a lot on this show.
Okay, I'm doing the editing. So for all you guys, I'm doing the editing, and I'm telling you, that's pretty much every other word out of our mouths is "that's so important." Yeah,
it's just so important. Yeah, important.
I say interesting as well. I'm just like, oh yeah, that's just. I just think that's just like so interesting. Anyway,
fascinating. It's so interesting and important. Fascinating.
I'm sure other people should be taking the piss out of us at home. We shouldn't be taking the piss out of ourselves on this right now.
I'm sure you're all doing shots at this point every time we say important. If you're not,
please do.
What are you doing?
Yeah, are you really listening to us? Come on, really? Guys. But we hear like shadow work, yeah, bandied about, and it is one of the most important things that we can do. I mean, it's just one of the most necessary things, because like you're saying, it's kind of, you know, the shadow doesn't just disappear because you're not looking at it. It's a shadow. It's always there. And
it's always behind you, girl.
It's always behind you. And it is, you know, it's going to affect your behavior if you're not aware of it. I mean, this is something, I mean, I might be going too deep too quick, but this is something that I recognize in the main religions we have at the moment that are in the world, like, for example, Christianity. And coming from a Christian country and that kind of ideology, that there are lots of places where we're actually taken completely away from the shadow. We're just told the shadow is bad. And so we don't actually work on those places that need to be worked on. We just try and go towards the light while we're dragging this big black fucking shadow behind us. And I just, you know, I feel like, so culturally we're taught that to ignore the thing and just try and be a better person. But this is the how. Do you know what I mean? This is the how we become a better person.
Yeah. And I think you make an important point there culturally. When we're doing these Afro-diasporic traditions, whether you're doing the Obia, the Vodou, the Hoodoo, the Ifa, the Lukumi, a huge part of it is understanding and not shutting away this like devilish part of ourselves. It's literally taking it into our arms and saying, I understand that this is how I can be. This is how I can affect the community negatively with my attitude, my behavior, all stemming from a past hurt, from whether it's our hurt, whether it's an ancestral hurt, whether it's a past life hurt. Like, how do we take all of this hurt, look at it for what it is, see how it actually affects everything in our life, because it does, and then move forward from there. Actually properly, like, excuse my French, fucks me off when people go, oh, you're, you know, you're past, you're an adult now. Like, do you think the past exists in a vacuum? Do you think your brain just magically renews and plonks itself into its your head each year that you age? Each year you have a birthday. It's like, bloop, new brain. No, your neural path. it fucks me off to no end. Because your neural pathways have been forming since... Exactly. You were in the womb. Since you were in the womb, they were forming. The type of birth that you had, whether it was traumatic or peaceful, is going to contribute to that. The type of birth trauma that your birth giver has is going to contribute or take away from the traumas you're experiencing. The type of upbringing you had, if you have adverse childhood experiences, this is a psychological term, which... explains the different categories of, you know, adverse experiences that children may experience that contribute to trauma. So if your parent has left the home either through running off with a younger woman or through death, that's an adverse childhood experience. If you've been moved around a lot as a child to the point you have no stability, that's one. If your parents were drinkers or drug users, or perhaps they had any other kind of addiction, from like hoarding to like severe food issues, that's going to affect you. You can Google adverse childhood experiences. There's a whole list of them. So all of these things, from the very moment that your brain starts forming in the womb to your adult life right now, is going to have an impact on how you act in the world. And that's not always going to be roses. Mm-hmm. And you can't expect that you are going to be acting in this like airy fairy way and genuinely nothing is going wrong in your life if you've experienced any kind of trauma growing up at all.
Yes, and drop the mic. It wasn't expensive, I'll drop it. 100% babe. Another thing we always say. I mean, I just feel like this is it's just really fucking important for everyone to realize, because this is a place where we can really take back control of our lives. And I feel like we live in a world at the moment which actually is massively out of control. All the stuff that's going on every day, for me personally, it makes me feel like I'm spinning out so much if I look at the news, look at anything like that. And
these last few years have just been horrid as well.
Babe, it's been crazy.
That's a global trauma we've gone through.
A global trauma that we're going through. There's a global level of shadow work that needs to be done, like from governmental situations all the way down to individual communities and individuals. And I think just having that awareness, I mean, even for me personally, I even though this is work that I've been doing for a long time, work that I've been aware of for a long time, it is also the kind of thing that doesn't just go. It isn't just like, I'm going to go, okay, today I'm going to work on my shadow. Okay, let me meditate. I'm going to cry about that thing. Let me do some target. Okay, cool. I'm done. That shadow shit is done. It's like this repeated process, because like you said, I wish it was like that. Like you said, our neural pathways have been formed. Our conditionings have been formed. Like we have been being like bred and raised in a certain way our entire lives, within our community, within our families, within our friendship groups, whatever it is. We've had repeated experiences, and every single experience you have in your life, positive, negative, neutral, whatever it is, will have an effect on you. And it may be a positive experience, it could have a negative effect on you. It doesn't, you know, human beings are very complicated people or be things, and working with this stuff, like starting to become aware of, I feel like shadow work is a lot of the time looking at what your internal voices are saying to you. You know, so what is my internal monologue that's going on? Like what are the things that I'm repeatedly saying, the thoughts that I'm repeatedly thinking, the grooves that I am repeatedly going through, you know, and becoming aware of those places and then trying to change them. And it fucking hurts, man. It's like the amount of the amount of like frustration I get doing this, you know. And it's the internal frustration that I have to do it. Just stop. Frustration at like the things that have affected me, the people, the situations, my own reactions, all that kind of stuff. And to really, you have to have a really big level of courage for yourself to go back and actually look at these things. So no one's, we're not here saying this is easy shit to do. It's necessary shit to do, but it's not easy shit to do. And it's, yeah, I don't know. There's so much. Also, my like way of speaking today, I feel like is directly related to the topic we're fucking talking about. It's that place.
Are you feeling blocked talking about your shadow because it's afraid to be revealed today?
Oh, I have actually today done some shadow work already. This morning. Okay. I did a good 2 hours.
What did
you do? I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to fucking talk about it. I had some important conversations. And okay, so those conversations involved me having to look at myself and my own behaviour.
Okay.
I hate that shit, man. I hate it. But it was good. I learned some things.
I get that you don't want to talk about it right now. I think now's a good time as any to like jump to talking about, and not maybe that it's specifically related to this, maybe it's genuinely something you want to keep private, but this black code of silence that is known across the diaspora. Even though in our spiritualities, in our cosmologies, we are very open and talking about healing and our troubles and our struggles, but because we've had this Christian paradigm, we have what I've seen referred to as the black code of silence, is you don't wash your dirty laundry in public, you don't talk outside of the house, you don't tell anyone what's going on. So I feel like so many of us in the community, I mean, we're starting to see it now where so many of us are going, well, actually this thing happened to me in childhood, or I did this thing in my past that wasn't great. And we're now starting to have these open conversations, this generation in particular, which is fabulous. But so many of us have coded into our heads that we just don't talk about these things. Maybe because it would have been an opportunity for an attack or a weakness in the past. You know, it probably isn't so conducive in a slave plantation to talk about so-and-so doing something against the slave owner's wishes to someone else because they might snitch to try and get themselves ahead, you know, that type of thing. I'm pretty sure there is some kind of post-traumatic slave syndrome around the fact that as a community, we never talk about abuse or the hardships that we've faced. Mm-hmm. Unless it's like, you know, oh, my leg's killing me, my back's killing me. I think we're all very good in this community for talking about those types of things. But I'm talking about the real shit. And I just think the more we return back to how we were pre-Christian in position, the more we start to talk collectively as a community about the things that are, you know, on our minds that are like mentally harassing us, the more we start to share in techniques and knowledge of how to remove those traumas. And that's where we'll get to a point of intergenerational healing, which is why we do shadow work. It's why we work on the shadow. It's why we take a look at the worst parts of ourselves, the parts of ourselves that shouldn't really be around for public consumption. We look at these things because they tell us, they give us clues on how we're going to fix things. So going back to my example earlier of my communication, when my communication isn't taken the right way, I can become spiteful. If I start to notice that I am feeling that way, I will stop and observe the feeling of spite. Like, what do you want to do to this person? Okay, why would you want to do that? Normally my response is going to be to get them to do what I need them to do, or for them to listen to me. It's going to be very much to do with meeting my needs. So from that, I can see what me need is not being met here. And if a need is not being met, what can I do to remedy that? Does the person even know I have this need? Am I assuming they know my friggin' need and they're not giving it to me? So we've been able to go back like... yeah, exactly. So I've gone back step by step and I've been able to say, right, listen, this person didn't listen to me, or they didn't understand what I was saying. So at that point, you're able to review the situation. As you get better and better at this, it just comes to a point where when someone is miscommunicating, well, this is my particular bugbear. If someone miscommunicates with me, I'm able to say on the spot, right, I'm not understanding this, or you are not understanding me, or right now, maybe we're not committed to understanding each other. So let's talk about this thing again when we're both in that space. Problem solved. It's so easy, right? I couldn't have done any of this 10 years ago. I'd be popping off. I'm from East London.
I was going to say, just wait, it was so
easy. It's the land of the shadow.
Really triggered me. Yeah, it is. It's so easy. We could all do this. Amazing. I mean, we can. But it is hard fucking work. And you're right. It takes time, and it also takes hindsight, that practice. Wonderful thing that happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you've had a few more years behind you, you know, it's like, and I think it's a really important point you're making as well about the black voice, 100%. And it does make me consider it. I have been quite a vocal person in some ways. I'm massively vocal. Obviously, I'm here on the internet saying all my shit. But then in another way,
you're an actress.
That as well. I forgot about that. But then in another way, I do really like to keep my stuff to myself. And that is, I think it is a bit to do with that. It's being judged as an angry person of color, like angry black woman. That thing that happens, like, you know, it's being judged as that. It's also having been brought up with a kind of subconscious awareness that I have to do really well. I have to behave really well and do really well and really prove who I am to this world, in you know, because of my background, like that. That is a subconscious thing so it is difficult to then step out and admit the shit that is bad about you, 100%. And what I will say is that you don't really need to. I do believe this. You don't really need to admit it to anyone else. I think it's helpful to have witnesses. To be witnessed is really, really good, because then your evolution is also witnessed, and it can be very hard to recognize that you've evolved sometimes when it's just you who's seeing that. I do also think that there is something in, like, I can't think of the words to really describe this properly, but I saw something about it the other day and it really hit home. And it's more about you and yourself and your life and your things. It's a privilege. It's a privilege for you, Jay, for me to talk to you about myself. And it's vice versa the same. It's a privilege for me to be able to receive this information about you. And sometimes I think about it like that. In my younger years, I didn't really, you know, I was more like, you know, I'd be chatting to everyone about my problems. Oh my God, this is happening, that's happening, that's going fuck. but, you know, now it's more like I'm more kind of careful with who I give that information to. And it is because, yeah,
controlled.
Yeah, I'm more controlled about it, and it is because you learn that people, not everybody really deserves that information. But also there definitely are elements of that, of me moving into the kind of person that I know I am and want to be, and letting go of some of these shadow aspects and not wanting to carry those things forward in anyone else's mind. But yeah, I'm going to go back on all of that and just go back to the point of, like, it really makes a difference to be witnessed. You kind of do need to share with someone, I think.
What do you mean, like having an accountability buddy?
Accountability.
Accountability
kind of.
Buddy.
Accountability buddy. I mean, everyone needs one of those. Fucking hell, they're useful to have. You're partly that for me. But
likewise. But,
good. I'm probably not the best person for that anyway. But yeah, I mean more, so yeah, accountability is a good word to use, but it's less about that. It's less about having someone there going, okay, well, you said that you recognize this about yourself, so now you're not behaving like that. That isn't what I mean. It's more about having the witness. So for me, and I feel like a lot of human beings at this point in time in our world will understand this, validation is something that is necessary for most people. Now, it is amazing if you can self-validate. Fucking hell. Amazing. But if you are the kind of person like me who will post something on Instagram and then look fucking 20 times that day to see how many likes you've got, you have to admit that you need some kind of external validation sometimes. And that is literally the way our world is set up. You know, you do your schoolwork and you get a mark for it. You're validated. or invalidated in your work from you're a fucking baby, you know? So it's like that our whole lives, this is what it's about. So
it's so weird that we judge people for needing validation when literally the whole society is set up 100%. So your life is validation.
Exactly.
It's such a weird thing to bash people about in my mind.
It's such a weird thing to bash people about. And then also this, that we are a pack animal. You know, we work best in a community or a group, right? Yeah. And what happens in a community or a group? You are witnessed. People know you. In your family, you know, and I know this isn't the way everyone's family goes or every friendship goes or whatever, but in general, the relationships between human beings, the people who you've grown up around, will know kind of what you're like and how you are. They've witnessed you. They've witnessed your growth. You know, that's why you can turn around to your cousin who you've known since you were fucking born and, like, make a joke that only they're going to get about your behaviour. Because they've literally seen that whole thing and the whole growth, you know. And I just think it's a really beautiful thing that I didn't really fully understand before I started getting into my spiritual work, that being witnessed, and it even more so than having somebody hold you accountable, having a silent witness, just another human being there who is seen, who is heard, and that's it. They don't need to have a fucking opinion about it. Like, just that you have been witnessed, I think, is one of the really beautiful and important thing for us human beings to have. I really need to improve my vocab. Like, seriously, I need some new words.
We will swallow a dictionary at some point. Yeah. We should get like a thesaurus, so every episode we can be like, what's another word for interesting or important?
I'm going to do that. Well, do you know what? I really want to get myself again, which I haven't had in a long time, but I used to have it all the time. Word of the day, toilet paper. That stuff is amazing. It proper educates you. So,
yeah.
In your life, obviously you've spoken about like becoming aware of the elements of you that become spiteful when you're in pain and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, what do the shadow work really look like to you? So for our listeners out there who are hearing us say all of this and then talking about our emotions and shit, like, how can we let them know kind of what our practice of shadow work looks like, if that makes sense?
So I've given a really massive clue here in looking back to incidents in our past. We can look back to areas where things have like bubbled over, even as far as childhood, actually, even as far as you being like a little 5-year-old, is there a way I reacted to something where I perhaps could take another path to make sure that this didn't explode into some kind of horrible miscommunication, horrible argument, horrible fight, and review that situation. And I'm not talking about people who have been in abusive situations here. I'm talking about situations where you have had equal agent. Okay, so we're going to take a quick pause on what the hell I was just saying, because my partner did something in the room he wasn't meant to, and his keys went, and I just fired off a look, and Nicola just busts out laughing.
I so wish we'd put it on camera. I so wish.
In that moment of anger, I can tell you what I was feeling. I've just told him to leave the room. My thoughts were, why hasn't he effing left the room like I told him to? And I thought, wait, no, I'm taking up the only living room we have where we both exist together, and I'm expecting him to not have presence here. Mm-hmm. Is that really friggin' fair of me? It probably isn't very fair of me. So we're going to take a deep breath.
I love the way you said probably. Like, you're not quite sure, but probably.
I'm quite sure right now. It's
like, no, I'm sure I have all the rights. It just was so funny because it was like, for a second, Jay's literal shadow literally just came out and was like, just for like 1 second.
He got East London screw face right there.
Yeah, he got the East London screw face. And then she was like, no, Rusa, I'm a spiritual being. I've meditated for years and I basically levitate around my room. So I'm going to deal with this in a more of a passive aggressive way than an aggressive way. Because it was passive aggressive.
Oh, no.
I heard some passive aggressiveness in the voice.
We heard some passive aggressiveness. And do you know what that passive aggressiveness should have been saying instead of being passive aggressive? Because even passive aggressive can be worked through. It should have said, listen, babe, you can see that I'm doing something really important here. Please, can you be more considerate? And he was being quite considerate. It was an accident.
Yeah.
So it's just on my part, taking the time to be like, I forgive in that moment. I forgive.
Do you really forgive? I don't believe you.
Yeah.
I think you need 5 minutes. I feel really sorry for him now. I really want to go come over and give him a cuddle and be like, sorry, babe.
No, honestly. I think my mum and my brother think I'm like the like snappy finger one in the relationship. It's a bit of column A, bit of column B, I reckon.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to something in our past or in our most recent present, even as we're recording a podcast about shadow work, we can take the time in the moment to breathe, and while we're breathing, review the situation in our head before we blurt out anything that's going to be like just exacerbate the miscommunication, because mm-hmm. that's what we're working to do, right? Reduce the exacerbation of the miscommunication.
Exactly. And I think that relationships are actually the perfect place to do shadow work. Perfect place. I mean, they are the place where it tends to
they
happen.
Are one of the, they are one of the perfect places to do shit. Like, this is, I see so much content these days with everyone going, oh, you know, single life is great. You need to work on yourself before finding someone. And it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, as much as you work on yourself before finding someone, when you're with someone, you're going to get that transference of mm-hmm. emotion and feeling. And you're going to have something else to work on. So you can work on yourself as much as you can outside of a relationship. As mm-hmm. soon as you get into relationships with other human beings, be it romantic or platonic, you're going to start to see where you can work on yourself, because the other person is literally a mirror. Exactly. So this leads me on to a second way of looking at shadow work. When someone pisses you off, if it's an incident outside of abuse, and if it's just an incident of someone pissing you off and pushing your triggers, mm-hmm. let's just say Nicola's made me angry. Okay, mm-hmm. so Nicola's made me angry about this thing because she's this particular type of way, or she's done this action. When have I in my past done this action to someone else, and when have they felt like me? Mm-hmm. So you can literally start to think your way through. I'm not the only person who has ever felt this emotion on the back of someone communicating with me in this way. And they aren't either. So can I start to think about how this person is acting towards me and how it can be a mirror to some of those emotions that I try to suppress for myself? Perhaps mm-hmm. they're more comfortable with expressing that thing than I am. Perhaps I was denied being able to be that person because, you know, my mother, my father, my friends told me, oh, you're being too much, so you turned that thing off. Mm-hmm. They're acting in the moment on their emotion, and I can learn from some of that.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Do you have ways that you would work through your shadow? Do you have any like techniques or tips?
Well, I don't know about, I mean, I'm sure I have loads of techniques, actually. I'm sure I have loads. What are they? It's one of those crazy things where like shadow work tends to come into pretty much most spiritual practice, I think. And it's whether or not you're aware, I think, that you're doing that sometimes. It doesn't always have that name. So, you've said a lot of things that I think would lead people really clearly onto what to do. So as it is pretty much the basis of just everything when it comes to being in control of yourself, meditating is an amazing thing. So meditation, like to give yourself that space where you can actually begin to witness, I feel like is really good. And probably like every single human being in the world would benefit from just sitting around 5 minutes a day and being able to do that. When you do get deep into your meditation and those, any kind of practice, if I'm honest, every single practice I've done, whether it's been going to medicine ceremony or ceremony without medicine or sweat lodge or fucking, you know, the plethora of things I've done, just sitting there meditating, doing yoga, you know, literally just doing yoga. But I say literally just, let me retract that, because obviously we know yoga is this massive, amazing life path that is full, and that's why it happens. But, you know, all of these things, when you push yourself, you will get to your, you will get to plateaus with all of these practices, like you do in anything in life that you're learning. And then a lot of the time those plateaus will be involved in something that you cannot accept to move forward about yourself. You know, so then the shadow work comes in. There's no way that you can start to meditate, for example, and get to a point where that is something you are doing for maybe an hour every day or a couple of hours every day and not have to look at your shadow. Just the nature of sitting, for example, meditating is enough to like fuck people off. But sometimes just sitting down and knowing that I have to be still with myself and like pisses me off. So before I've even started the meditation, I'm in the fucking shadow work and I'm having to look at why that is. You know, there's lots of different techniques when it comes to meditating. Like we should have spoken to Veena a bit more about this actually, from Tools of Tara as a Tool, because she's an amazing Vipassana meditator. And part of that meditation is to witness the sensations in the body. Now, when you begin to witness the sensations in the body, then that can get really, really, really uncomfortable. So let's think about shadow work as basically the aspect of things in yourself that makes you feel uncomfortable. When you get to that point, you are doing your shadow work. Whatever you do to move past that is your shadow work. You can literally stop your work at that place and never move forward and never evolve if you don't want to, shall I say. But in my experience, pretty much every practice I've done has brought me to a place of having to shadow work, and usually really fucking quickly, much more quickly than I wanted to. Like we're doing the hair episode and I was telling you about my hair going curly, and that was my second medicine ceremony. Believe me, I did not want to be doing that level of shadow work in that setting. I'm all there and people are saying, you know, because people always say this about grandmother ayahuasca, they're always like, oh my god, it's just like, you know, you go there and it's just, your first one is always just so beautiful, it's so beautiful, it's like love and da 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 da, and then the second one, she's gonna fuck you up, and that's how it works. That's how it works.
What is that shadow work like for you on medicine plants or fungi?
It's interesting, actually. It's so interesting you ask that, because you know, I've usually, if I'm in ceremony and I'm doing that work, then I'm going to usually go to those places that the medicine is showing me. So if you're going to work with something like that, then you know, usually we go to do those that work because there is an issue. It may not be, oh, this thing happened to me. It may be, you know, I want to become a better person, or I want to learn about this, or I want to, you know, there's something that's driven you to be there. That thing will be, the light will be shone on for sure. But what will also be shown to you a lot of the time will be the reason why that thing is an issue, or the reason why, do you know, so the actual reason. Then you're straight into it. Like, then it's your, you know, I've been in ceremony where people are literally screaming, like, and it's an interesting thing because I've never ever been in that place. I've been in the place where I could scream and I could cry, but I've sometimes made the choice not to, because in a sense that has felt for me like going into the shadow in an uncontrolled way, which isn't helpful for me in that moment. A lot of the time when that happens, it tends to be because people are having a massive battle. And that battle is always with yourself, man. It's like, it's not anything else. It's an internal battle with yourself. Are you willing to accept things about yourself, to learn those things about yourself, and then to move on from them? Because this is the thing, when you've created a wound as a human being to another human being, I think for most people, that is sometimes the most painful thing. Like for me, so if I've hurt someone else, if I've done something in my personality has created an issue for somebody else, I will really struggle with the fact that I've caused somebody pain. It will be hard for me to accept. And it isn't like I can't see it. It's just hard for me to accept that I've caused them pain.
Do you reject yourself in that moment as you expect them to reject you?
Yeah, probably. Fucking hell, this is becoming a deep counselling session, isn't it? Yeah. but so yeah, so anyway, so that work comes up, especially with the medicine. But when you asked me that question, one thing that came up was when I did a mushroom ceremony with some people like a few years ago now. It's probably about 4 years ago. And I wasn't very trusting of the people that I was doing it with, but I felt comfortable in myself, which is not something I would recommend to anybody listening. I felt comfortable in myself having, with the work that I've done and the training that I have received, that I could hold myself in that situation. But if you don't feel comfortable with people who are leading your ceremony, don't do the ceremony. That is like literally would always be my advice. In that situation, I felt okay to do it. So I went and did it. And then some stuff started to come up in that session. It was beautiful. I had lots and lots of interesting and important messages. so I have to use others. But I also had something happen where I started to ask about one aspect of my life. And I then saw basically all of these. It was like, you know, in Sleeping Beauty, when at the end when Maleficent, all the vines come up and cover the castle.
Oh yeah.
So I was sitting there in this situation, all these vines were like these grey, it was like the most colourful thing, and then all these grey, like not even grey, just colourless, you know, so absent of colour, these thorns came up and started wrapping around this situation. And I knew in that moment I had a choice. So my choice was to go and walk through those thorns and deal with it. And I walked up to them and I knew that that moment and that ceremony, I was not going to be able to do that in a safe way. So I stepped back. And that was one of my first ever experiences, really, of feeling so in control of that, you know, not feeling like I was going to have to be dragged away on this thing, or even that, okay, well, if this has arrived now, then I need to do it. I need to deal with it. You don't have to if it's not the right time, not the right moment. Again, there's a lot of power in also being able to do that. Okay, I recognize that these are the place, there are deep things here that I need to look at, but today is not the day. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, it's, there's definitely, it's something that I have done maybe more than I've wanted to do. But it's literally going to be something that I feel like I have to do for life. I mean, I've had some elements of my life have been really difficult, but I feel like just the nature of being a human being means there's always something to learn. There's probably always going to be, unless you're literally born Jesus, you're born enlightened, then you're probably going to have to be working yourself for the rest of your life.
I think even by, like, you're not, for some reason, I like feel like this realm is here for you to sort through the shit.
Oh, you're literally
going to be given challenges, battles, issues that are going to be unique to you, and you'll start to notice the same recurring themes in your life. If you really sit and think about your life and you look at like the type of people you've dated or the type of people you've had as friends or the type of places you've lived, and you will start to notice a common theme in your life, and you'll start to notice where you felt out of control or in control of the situation. You'll start to notice points where you felt out of control, but in retrospect, you know where you could have had more of that control. This realm is literally an obstacle course. It is just a spiritual obstacle course in the biggest sense possible. So I don't think you would be born here if you were just like, oh, I'm an enlightened being. You wouldn't be in this realm. I really feel like you wouldn't be here. I mean, I love Mother Earth, but man, it's ghetto here.
It is ghetto, man. It is ghetto. I mean, there are lots of people who would disagree with what you just said, though. I'm gonna say that just in case. Devil's advocate the shit out of this.
You don't think it can be like really like, I'm not saying like overall it is like walking through Alma Estate in Stratford, but it is pretty like touch and go in places.
No, I agree with that. It's the bit about that you said about you don't know if anyone in this realm would be born here,
yeah,
not enlightened. Now this is it's a whole other subject matter. But there are,
you think you can be born here and you're like, you've just come here, well, just
I mean, I don't know anything. I have met people who say something different. And I don't know, I still don't know really how I quantify those experiences. So, for example, Amma, who I've spoken about before, Amrita Nandamaima, who's a South Indian guru. She's known as an avatar. So in that way of explaining what an avatar is, like, she apparently, an avatar is somebody who is born with their God awareness. So you don't have to become it. So the theory kind of behind someone like her is that they come here to guide, and they will have very difficult lives, but they're already in line, so it's kind of cool. They can deal with it. But they're here to guide, and they're here to show that we could all become like that, if that makes sense. So we could all become
transform through the trauma, essentially.
Now, I don't know. I mean, I've met Amma. With Amma, I've had her darshan a lot. I've been to her ashram.
Yeah.
There's definitely a very high vibration there. But I don't know, just the older I get and the more crazy experiences I have, the less I want to be like, yeah, that person's an avatar. They're literally fucking born. You know, it's like Jesus was supposed to be an avatar. Like, just born fucking enlightened, born as a fucking G. And they're there to show you. I think it's a beautiful concept. They're there to kind of guide and show you. But then when you're actually around the institutions, everything becomes an institution. It feels a bit different. But that is off subject. So anyway.
Sorry. I think there's an episode around cults and abuse that you can probably go back to listen to if you haven't listened to that already.
Yeah.
But we'll probably have to talk about this idea of like avatars or prophets going forward. Because,
oh my gosh.
It's so fascinating.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the subject matter.
Have you got any books or materials or Instagram accounts that you've been following in order to help you develop and learn about shadow work?
No. Sorry. I did say to Jay before we started that I just have to run over and get a couple of books for this. And then I realized when I was there by my books that there wasn't a specific book. I just got my dossier, guys. Remember dossier from last week with all the important shit in it. there isn't this particular book, but what I will say is it is like kind of what I just said. So pretty much any practice you do, you're going to have to go into some places that make you feel uncomfortable. It's going to bring up stuff about yourself. It's just basically when you start to witness yourself, then you can't... witnessing doesn't only mean that you just see the stuff that you're doing great at. It also means that you see the stuff you're doing bad at. As soon as you start to see that and start to realize those things about you, then you're doing your fucking shadow work. I mean, I think one of the most important things about shadow work is really how it makes you then affect the world. Like I think doing proper shadow, like working on yourself to the extent where you can go, okay, these things, these aspects of my personality or these triggers that I have and these issues that I have that make me act like this, I'm going to try and remedy and maybe not act like that because it doesn't feel good to me. Also then gives you this amazing level of compassion for other people. And I think that's a really important thing. Like when you can sit there and go, okay, yeah, human beings aren't perfect because I realize I'm not perfect, then you can have a different level of understanding for other people. And I think it also is about that, creating that bigger space for understanding and healing. As far as books go, I would recommend that people read, oh my God, I might have to just Google it.
While you Google it, I'll talk about a really great book that I've read by Debbie Ford. It's called The Dark Side of Light Chasers. And it's a whole book that talks about shadow work. And it goes into like exercises of shadow work. And it was written by a white woman who even touches upon, like, I really feel like she could have done more with this. I actually think she's passed away now, but she even talks about racism and how you can understand racism and go into shadow work from there. I know we have some listeners within the white European community. Which, you know, I think the way she outlines that would be particularly helpful there with those communities. But overall, the exercises that she gives you along the way are really useful. So one of them, you sort of take all of your feelings and emotions and you can like name them. You can like what's the word? Archetype. You can create an archetype for each of your feelings. And when you start to understand that, like, oh, hey, Annie Anger, you're here today. Like, why have you showed up? And it's like having conversations with these archetypes that, you have within yourself. Because when you start to personify them, you can actually start to have those like internal conversations with those parts of yourself. And Annie Anger can turn up and go, well, yeah, I'm friggin' angry because you definitely didn't want to do this thing and you had an opportunity to speak up and you absolutely didn't. So I'm here to take over the show. And that exercise that she sort of has in there around personifying those parts of ourselves, I think that was one of the most brilliant things I'd been introduced to early on in my spiritual career to get into understanding who the hell I am.
Yes. I'm buying that book straight away. And
once I find the copy, I will give it to you. It was on my nightstand. It's just vanished into nothing. My
the fucking stuff shadow, man.
It's that or Duffy.
That or Duffy, yeah. oh gosh, what was I gonna say? So I think that's great. All of these exercises I feel like are about giving you the space to recognize what is you and what isn't you. And I think this is the point, like, as a human being with the intensity of the fucking world and, you know, whatever, it's very hard sometimes to recognize that you aren't, as cheesy as it can sound, that you aren't your anger. You know, that you aren't Annie Anger and you're not Freddie fucking Frustration. And...
Sorry, pause on that. Like, yeah, you're not your anger. So you're not saying, I am angry. This goes back to my NLP thing. I feel angry. Stop saying things like, I am angry. I am sad. You're not sad. You're Nicola. You're Jay. Like, you are feeling sad. You are feeling angry.
Exactly.
Take a bit of linguistic distance from yourself there and it'll start to follow in your brain.
But this is it. This is such a good thing to do. Such a good thing to do, because that is literally what it's all about. That witnessing, and that's what I'm talking about. The witnessing that we're doing of each other, but also the witnessing that you do of yourself when it comes to your thoughts and that monologue. Like,
yeah,
this is it. This is it. Like, when you realize that there's a separation, like, look, I've realized this a long time ago that there's a separation between me and my thoughts, and I still act like a crazy fucking bitch. I'm not gonna lie. You know, it doesn't mean that it changes like that, but it just gives you the places where you can understand a bit better, and then giving yourself that freedom and also that time to slowly get to that place, especially if you're working in this way with the negative aspects or the things that are difficult for you. The book that I would recommend, which isn't specifically about this, but I just think it's a great book because it talks about something that I think is, again, really important for people to realize. It's called Shaman, Healer, Sage by Alberto Villoldo. And in this book, he talks about the original wound. So again, there's a whole episode in this, Jay, like about the original wound and the birth stories that you mentioned earlier, because the birth stories are very important. But so we talk about this original wound thing. He talks about this in the book. And I think this, again, is a really... Like, this isn't where you're going to start your shadow work. Let me put it like that. It isn't where you're going to start, but you're going to get here. And it's a very good concept to begin to understand. So this original wound thing we talk about, it's the first big trauma that happened to you in your life. It could potentially be a past life if you are open to that way of thinking. But this wound could have happened in a previous life, or it could have happened in this life. It usually would have happened when you were a child. Now, what's difficult about, you know, finding or understanding the original wound is sometimes it doesn't look like the worst thing ever, but it has affected your life and created your behavior to be a certain way. And so when he talks about it, he talks about his original wound being when he was really young, I think in Cuba or Colombia, and the civil war was going on. And his dad left to go and fight with the mercenaries and gave him a gun when he was 10 and said, you have to protect your family, right? So then it was him and his sisters and his mom, 10-year-old. He's at the door and there's like fucking, you know, militia coming around, and he's, you know, they see him, this little 10-year-old boy with a gun, and they go, it's okay, let's just move on. But that for him created this whole lifelong, I mean, it's a pretty fucking traumatic situation, but it created this whole lifelong thing about how he integrated with women, how he felt as a man, all of a sudden having to be 10 years old with a weapon, having to protect the women, you know, how he speaks about it making him feel like he couldn't, he struggled to get close to people in relationships because he didn't want to be that level of protector, you know. So it's like, we don't necessarily have something that is as big as traumatic as that has happened to us in our lives, but there will be things, and there usually will be a place where things have started. Like, through this work, you can go back.
Mm.
And then I don't recommend that you do this just on your own, especially if you're kind of new to a spiritual practice. I do feel like you need support around you, potentially teachers or just people who are a little bit further along in the path who you trust that can support the process, because it is a deep process to sit there and actually do things that make you feel uncomfortable, whether that's just paying attention to how your body feels, man, just to connect into your body. For as a yoga teacher, I really recognize that so many people do not live in their bodies, and if you tell them to sit in their body, it is painful for them, you know. We have to
I had no idea of this before, up until a couple of years ago when it came with the mushrooms. After that, I started to realize, like, wow, when I feel sad, my throat, it like lumps up. How have I never recognized this before? When I feel angry, I can literally feel where my liver is. I feel like a rising right up to my, I can actually feel my body from the inside of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And it really took, this is gonna be a weird combination of things. It took mushrooms and the Midnight Gospel by Duncan Trussell to understand that. He has an episode, he talks to loads of different spiritual people on his podcast, and in the Midnight Gospel on Netflix, he kind of takes some of these podcast episodes and sets it to some weird sort of like really trippy animation. And he was speaking to like a somatic experiencing coach, I think, who was literally talking about feeling the inside of your body. So starting with your hand and then bringing that awareness all through your body. And it was that combination of things. I was like, wow, I can actually feel my liver do a thing when I get angry.
Well, this is it. And liver in the traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, is the place where your anger will reside. So,
and
like,
I feel it.
And you'll find it like, they will go, if you go to a traditional Chinese herbalist and you're having issues, and, you know, one of them is anger, they'll give you something to cool the liver down. You know, it's really interesting, because what you're talking about, so body scanning, where you're moving your awareness, obviously I teach as well with the yoga nidra. And again, this is why when I was teaching yoga, I still teach yoga nidra. It's one of the techniques that I find so useful for Westerners, actually, because so many of us are out of our bodies. And this, just to be able to kind of go, oh, bring your awareness to your little finger. And you're like, shit, most people are like, fuck, I didn't realize I even had a little finger. You know, that's how out of our bodies we are. And it's like, you never would realize. And so to realize this, that, you know, there are so many levels of this work, and they are all intense. They're all life-changing. They're all deep. There are so many ways that you can work with it. Actually, it's beautiful you brought that up, because I think yoga nidra is a really good technique for this, in the sense of it does support you. So it gives you this space where you can drop really lightly into your body and then drop deeper into your relaxation, and then you're able to go off on your journey or your visualization or whatever it is. Again, journey work, like with the drum. Again, drum
journey
for me
work.
Journey work, drum for me, just the beat of the drum literally will bring me to that place. And and it's just transformative in that rhythm, because you're having something that brings you directly into the trance. There's so much to do. There's so much that we could do. But get these books that we've just said. So many techniques. I do definitely think if you're having like a bigger awareness about your shadow work, like we said, we do it all the time. You're doing it with your fucking partner at home. You're doing it with your mum, your dad. You're doing it with your siblings, your friends. You are usually working on something like that within your relationships. But if you want to do a deeper level of shadow work, I think find yourself a tribe of people who can witness and hold you in that space, because it's going to go better if you've got those people around you, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know, what do you think? Do you agree?
I think in this journey, as it's kind of like a catch-22, right? Because as I've been doing more shadow work, I feel like the people who have really needed it and who can't keep up with my new empathetic level of talking have dropped out of my life. And I've started to find new people who are able to talk about these things in this way. And it's not about finding someone to just talk through all of your traumas and like trauma dump on.
No,
it's really like a symbiosis, like learning and growing from each other and helping each other work out the problems. But so, don't get into a one-sided situation where you're just like trauma dumping on someone. I think everyone should be in therapy. I think childhood trauma is actually a pandemic, and it's a pandemic that we're not talking about in society, because the reality is if the government admits that there is a pandemic of childhood trauma, then they have to fund that accordingly, right? And they're not going to do that. We would much rather bomb children in Yemen.
Have a vaccine for that pandemic. Okay. Shove this up your ass.
Sorry, you know, I've got feelings about that too. No, there's no quick fixes in this society for that. And everyone should have therapy, because there are definitely going to be things in your childhood, even if you think you had like, oh, my parents were really nice to me, they were really sweet, I don't know why I'm feeling anxious all of the time. Perhaps there was something in their parenting technique that didn't quite set you up to deal with certain anxieties in a certain way, and that's not a read on them, that's just a reality of like, you can't expect one or two people to be everything to you in your life. And we're now no longer in those situations where we're surrounded by like tribes. We're so disjointed that we're like the only people you now have raising you are your mum and dad. In the past, it would have been aunties, uncles, grandparents, cousins. It would have been everyone. And you would have been able to learn and feed off of everyone around you. So there's definitely going to be a gap in your childhood upbringing. Whether you immediately see that or not, I would advise you sit down, take a bit of time to understand what that gap is, and take some therapy. In the UK, we have charities like Mind, who, depending on your income, I think they offer therapy as low as £5. I think they go as high as like £65. That's mind.org.uk. If you're from the diaspora or an Asian or person of colour, BAATN.org. I think that's the British African and Asian Therapy Network. I think that's what it shortens down to. They give you like a list of therapists in your surrounding area who might be able to help you if you feel like you're definitely going to be a lot more comfortable with a person of colour or a person from your background. I'm not really sure about United States and what they have, but please, if you have local charities there, then reach out to them and see what they offer in your local area. In the UK, put yourself on a talking therapies waiting list. We pay our taxes for these things. We pay our taxes so we can repair, not so we can spend a load of money on stupid wanky Tory party like parties during lockdowns and bombs. There is a reason we give our money to these systems, right? It's so we can help collectively move forward as a community. So like, make the most of those services that they have to fund as people approach these services. So yeah, therapy, I think, on one of the biggest final notes, therapy is such an important part of shadow work. It's so important because if you're not looking at incidents in your past in a controlled way with a professional who is able to ask the right questions, you'll just be talking to your friends, and your friends are going to be biased. They know you, right? And they're going to be trying their best to maintain a friendship, maintain a relationship. So that's going to have limitations on the type of conversations you have. No matter how good a friend you are, even therapists who have therapist friends have their own therapists.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I do agree with Jay, and I do feel like this is an important thing to learn how to outsource, to realize that not every, that your friends aren't, yeah, like your emotional fucking vomit bags, and even though they can be there for you, then probably not going to be able to give you advice, and the right advice maybe, or advice that maybe you can hear from them because they're close to you. A therapist makes that 1,000 times easier. What I would say though is I do want to just put in there before we sign off that, like, I think it's an interesting thing that now we are all coming, and we do all need fucking therapy, we all need it, but why do we need it? If everybody in society needs therapy, then surely there's an issue within society. So yeah, so go and make sure that you're taking your tax money back and using what you can off the fucking NHS guide, because we do all need that. There's a massive societal issue. And I also want to say as well, because for me, therapy has, like, talking therapy, the talking therapies that we have and that I've found to be the most accessible in this country haven't really worked for me. Like, it's been good to have the space, but it's been, for me, finding the spiritual practices and the places I can do those safely that has had the biggest places where I've been able to evolve. And I think that's because I do love to chat, and so I'm really fucking good at chatting and telling my story. But maybe what I'm not so good at is actually creating an action to change it. So for me, sitting down with a therapist has amazing benefits, but there's also, like, another thing that I receive from actually going out and actively doing these spiritual practices, or any kind of practice, even just fucking going to the gym or whatever, because actually creating that action within yourself can make a really big, will make the biggest change. So, you know, find what works for you. It probably isn't going to look like whoever's next door. It isn't going to look like what Jay's doing or what I'm doing. And I know that's
Nick's doing what I'm doing. We'll do different things.
And it's so fucking annoying, because wouldn't it just be fabulous if there was just
a pill you could take,
you know, a fucking, you know, but there isn't, so we need to work hard. Anyway.
Well, that is as good a time as any, beautiful, beautiful beings of the multiverse, to sign off. Remember, we're on our socials, the Afro Animus podcast on TikTok and Instagram. On Twitter, we are Afro Animist. We are branching out to other podcasting channels at the moment, like Google and Apple and whatnot.
Yeah, them if you want. you will now be able to find us on not only Anchor and Spotify and YouTube, but also Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Audible, Stitcher. There's a bunch. Yeah, I'm gonna list them all down. Any app, any, you know, place that you're signed up to, you can probably find us through there. We've attacked the market.
If we aren't signed up there, friggin' DM us. Let us know that you want us on your favorite platform. We will find a way to get on there. And I guess another call, like, if you have something interesting to talk about, I don't care how many followers you've got on your Instagram. It could be 2, it could be 20K. I don't care. Reach out to us, because we can definitely have you on. We can talk about something here. We're doing this because we can build a community. I'm sort of thinking at the moment, I kind of want to speak to a doula. I want to talk about birth trauma.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay, well, guys, if you're a doula and you want to get on, yeah, you better get on here, because I know a few. So if you don't move quick, it's going to be someone else.
Are you a diviner? Do you like talking about plants? Like, do you like tarot? We can have a million different tarot people on here. We are happy to do that episode a million times over. Yeah, shout out to us. Call us.
Do, please. We are here. And we're all about real life, real stories. So what Jay said, get in touch. It's been so good chatting to you again this week. I miss you not being here with me.
I know. It feels really empty. I've got a snoring cat down here, but it's not the same. It's not Nicola.
No. Oh, of course. Of course. Wow, that was still really good. Anyway, guys.
Signing off, it's the Afro Animus podcast. I've been Jay Percy, the artist.
And I'm Nicola, and we will see you next week.
Bye. See you next week. Bye.
Mm-hmm.